You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone.
And we are at episode 22. Simone, we committed to 21.
Yes.
And now we are actually recording episode 22.
So I guess it looks like we agreed to go on.
Whether we truly acknowledge that or not, but it has been a lot of fun.
It really has been fun. It's been confronting. It has been frustrating, all of it rolled up together. But overall, it has been just a tremendous experience for me.
Well, why don't we share a little bit about what it has meant for us over these past 22 weeks?
It's been a tremendous source of learning, and I did not expect that. I really expected to come in, and this is a space for me to share what I've known or learned or developed throughout my career. And things I've been confronted by is that there's things I don't know and things that were hard. I've been used to just things coming easy to me in life. And so some of this was really a challenge and a difficult thing to learn. And what that has meant to me is that it reinforces what we've been talking about in the podcast, that leadership and learning, you got to go through the struggles to get to the place where it really is truly deep learning. For meaning for me, it has really just reinforced what everything we've talked about. The model works.
It really does. And this has been a great reminder for me that we are all still on a quest, and the quest is going to be everlasting. I think for myself, this has really been a highlight of each week, especially having conversations with you. But I know that I have said that I look at this as our own IDPs. And for someone who loves to learn, I also see myself as a catalyst of information. So I take what I learn and I'm able to pass it on. But for me, this has really given kind of a new perspective on how we can have a ripple effect. So even conversations that we have or thoughts that we have that we may not even have fleshed out completely, but we shared them, we're vulnerable. And to hear feedback from others and for others to come up and say, keep doing what you're doing, that this is really making an impact, has really been eye-opening and ultimately life-changing.
And very humbling that they share what they've gotten from different clips or short portions of it that they were just, it was just so second nature to me. And they were sharing the examples that came up for them, what it meant to them, and then what they're doing differently. And that was huge. I'm used to that in a classroom. I'm used to that when I'm coaching someone one-on-one. I'm not as used to it when someone's eavesdropping on what I'm saying, which is basically what podcasting is. Let's just get serious about it. And that's the intent of it. But I didn't realize the reach that it would have.
And it has been a lot of fun to see our bloopers, to see the capabilities of technology that has allowed us to look better than we perceive ourselves being.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And the especially since we haven't gotten on YouTube yet, and that's one of our next things is to go back and put our episodes on YouTube. But I'm still not ready. And everybody who tells me, like, just do it. You guys look great. Or whatever, right? And for me, I've just got this whole internal dialogue of absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. But I know we will. We'll get it there.
We'll get there eventually. Well, I do know this is episode 22. We're not really sure what the evolution is going to be. We actually have scheduled a planning session here in the next couple of weeks for us to visualize what is the next phase. We've reached a milestone. We've committed to what we set as our personal goal for 2025, and we still have a few months left for 2025. I want to take a moment just to thank our listeners, and thanks to those who do take the time to provide us feedback, because that is very meaningful and we do take it and we want to put out what it is that we know is going to be meaningful for others.
I just really, really appreciate the listeners for downloading and listening either each week or even 5 or 6 weeks later. I'm good good with it, however you're consuming, because that's the purpose of it. And consume it the way that it works for you, not the way that John and I are putting our schedule together. And, you know, listeners near and far, the ones that maybe in our same zip codes, but then zip codes and states that we're not residing in and countries that we're not residing in. So we have listeners from 36 of the states. So that is, to me, you know, I'm pretty excited about that, but also 10 countries.
Yeah, which is mind blowing.
Yeah, the UK, Singapore, Spain, Iceland, Mexico is pretty exciting. Shout out to my cousins in Canada. So the ones that are listening from there, I really appreciate it. But I am just, I'm pretty excited about what we've been doing and about what's next and what we could develop.
Well, and I would just want to take a moment to thank you for partnering with me in this and helping push this along as well. And I know I can come up with some crazy ideas, and I appreciate you just smiling nervously sometimes. And then the next time that we talk, you've taken that idea and either made it come to life or have added onto it. But I really do thank you for seeing something in me that I didn't even know was there.
I appreciate that. And I thank you for being willing to partner with me on this, because I know I've got my quirks and my antics and nervousness or qualms. And then my, you know, I'll just share whatever at any point. But I appreciate your being willing to listen and just to create it as a space that I can be fully me without apology, without caveats. And I hope that you feel that you're able to be fully you in that as well too. And I appreciate you kind of going down some diversions that I've asked you to go down as well too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as we jump into episode 22, we'd like everybody just to take a moment and think about the last time someone helped you see something in yourself that you didn't even know was there. Maybe it was a simple question or a moment of pause or a quiet nudge that shifted everything, or that even changed your perspective. That's coaching. It's not an event. It's not a scheduled time on your calendar, an appointment. It truly is a way of leading.
In today's world of just constant change, coaching isn't something that can happen just once a year or even at just performance reviews. It really needs to happen in the flow of the quest. In other words, in everyday moments that shape our growth, that shape confidence and capability in others.
So today we're going to explore what it means to coach in the flow, why today's conditions really demand it, and how a coaching methodology changes the game, and how the core framework can help leaders do it with intention.
So let's start first, Jonna, with the conditions of today that really create the need or the urgency for coaching and in the flow of work. Could you share for our listeners, what are some of those things?
When we look at the economic pressures that is rampant across any organization, workforce shifts, the rapid change that organizations face, decision-making has to happen quicker, change has to happen quicker, and leaders can't wait for the end of the year, or there's not that ramp up time, right, to get somebody up to speed and watch somebody else go through something and then go through a whole, what did we take away, learning and reflection. Uh-huh. Although we would love to have all of that, all of the time to do all of it.
Yeah, the before, I would even say, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even, let's send them to a classroom and fix them, make them better, develop a new skill. And there is still a place for that classroom training. But because of everything you just talked about, things are changing so fast, you know, in all of those areas, the economy, the technology, even the people coming in to work, and can't keep up the pace with, let's create this training class and let's put people in a class. So the time to learn is really compressed. And that's a challenge for how do you teach people to work with our processes, use our machines, and operate within the culture that we need. So learning really does need to happen while they're working. That's a big one. There's, you know, another condition that I see is that the skills that are needed are shifting really fast. We've seen this shift of several years ago, you know, you would get promoted because you were an expert in that. And so the leader was really oftentimes, that's how they could train because they were an expert in it. And in today's environment, the tools change. And so what a leader may be trained on, they go to the work and they can't, that tool doesn't exist anymore. And, but yet they're responsible for leading the people that are operating those tools. So they've got to employees need to learn in a different way. So we just can't afford to wait for a training department to create the classes that they need to go and do that. Now, there are some things happening in the world of AI that's doing rapid generation of content that is getting content out there faster, but you still can't send them to a training class to then learn how to do that. So there's that can be, if we do a module or an episode on AI, we can really get into what some of those advances are, which are pretty, pretty cool. But that is a condition that really shifts what the leader and how the leader needs to show up.
Yeah, which is different, right? We've never been in this space as a world, as an organization, or even as an individual. And we know that we are in the midst of an engagement crisis. I think Gallup's survey showed that engagement pretty much has stayed flat from last year. But what was really surprising is that 70% of the variance of engagement is explained by the leader's behavior. So that is huge, right? So the impact that a leader can have on not just engagement, right? When we're talking about performance improvement, we're talking about goal alignment, we're talking about, you know, engagement in the work, the leader really can have an impact on an individual.
The more preferred type of leadership style now is that leadership coaching style versus some of the former management autocratic, you know, styles from before.
There has been data to support that up, right? The positive ROI on it, the data pointing back to the coaching style is an important element of leadership.
It's a lot, you know, for leaders to do, because before it was the leaders who displayed it, those were our high potentials. And when you think about high potentials, those are cream of the crop, the top of the top, because they're doing some really good things. So they were different. And they were different because they were a lot of more, they were coaching, they were highly engaged with their employees. I say all of that because we categorized them as high potential before. And now what we're really seeing is we can't have this just with our high potentials. This has got to be the standard now in order to operate because of how businesses have changed so much. And so I think that just this, it's no longer a nice to have for people to have these types of the human skills of empathy and listening and questioning, that they are now a requirement to have. And that's just a big challenge to put all of that in one person.
Well, it is. And I'm sure there are people listening saying, this sounds really great, but I've got a full-time job. I've got a full team. I am trying to develop my people. I am making sure I hit my KPIs. I am, you know, making sure I make the customer happy. And now you're telling me that in order for me to be successful as a leader, I'm going to have to implement all of these coaching strategies into all of my interactions with people.
Yeah, because that sounds like you're adding it on top of. And when it's on the list, it usually gets dropped. It falls off the list. So it is the last thing to be prioritized. And so it's really not about let's add this to the list. What we're offering is a total perspective shift to adding it to just how you are and how you show up so that you could meet your numbers, so that you can develop your people, so that whatever the expectations are that you're given can be met. So it's not just, okay, now it's time for me to go do this coaching thing. It's having the conversation in the hallway, finding out what they're up to and what they are challenged with, and what they think there is to do to be successful next, and then help shift that around. So it's really about creating those tiny moments that will multiply that growth. So let's begin to shift into talking about our methodology that can help make that shift for people?
Well, I think we've established conditions are changing fast and that coaching in those micro moments really is a way for us to make it through the marathon, right? That this is a long journey and we're already having those conversations. We're already interacting with individuals. And so how do we become intentional with those conversations so that they are coaching? And having a methodology allows us to have a structured approach. However, we need to make sure it's agile because what works for one person is not necessarily going to work for the other. And what works in one industry doesn't necessarily mean it works in another industry. So having a coaching methodology that provides the structure, but is also agile, allows us as leaders to be successful when we have those conversations in the moment and coaching in the flow of work.
So we stumbled on that, hey, this our core really can be a coaching model. And I also very distinctly remember at the beginning, we said, okay, this is not a checklist. You don't go through step one, step two, step three, step four. Coaching really is a bit of a process. So how do you reconcile that for our listeners that we said it wasn't step by step, but is this, are we now saying that it's a step by step?
I think it's yes and. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a flow of the different levels inside of the core framework. But I think we can also use it as a structured approach. And within that, create the agility for leaders to use this as that structured approach, mm-hmm. coaching, but then have the flexibility inside of it and taking the coaching conversations where they need to go based on situation and based on the individual.
When you're coaching, it's not about you because your first several episodes, our first probably 20 episodes were on yourself and leading self. And now we've shifted into this, how do I lead other people? And so using CORE as a coaching framework is a great way to help lead other people. So we want to think about, okay, how am I helping them be curious? How am I helping them be open, them be reflective, and them embracing? And so for our listeners, I want them to like make that mental shift right here in our call and in the conversation that we're not talking about you right now. We're talking about you creating the space for them, someone else, to be curious. I mean, it's a simple model that it's easy to remember, the CORE. It's so easy, but it gives our listeners and leaders a repeatable way to change their perspective and then get the momentum into where they want to go rather than just, hey, I'm giving this advice.
Well, I think it does create that shift in conversations. It creates mm-hmm. the focus of the conversation. It creates that shift in perspectives. And again, even though we're saying it's structured yet agile, right, mm-hmm. that you can go through that core framework and once you've identified, maybe there's something that surfaces that we need to go back and get more curious about, mm-hmm. right? Which creates that fluid nature of the structured approach, because there's something that inevitably will come up in the reflection piece of it. And they're like, oh, this is good stuff. We need to go back and get curious about it, right? Before we embrace anything, we need to dive deeper into it. So I think it does give us that ability to have the structured approach, but then being able to be open to what comes up and then go back through that framework as needed.
As you were talking, had this mental shift of oftentimes a leader will go up and say, you know, do these steps. So it's like an arrow. It's a very directive conversation, but with CORE, you're almost coming in with an iterative circle. So let's swim around with the idea to see what's your mindset right now and how do you shift that to get to the action that you want. And that's really the core idea of our methodology is that your growth happens when leaders shift their mindset. They shift their perspective. So this is really about a perspectives approach to coaching someone. What is their perspective? And so it's not just their behavior, because oftentimes in performance reviews or when we're giving performance feedback, we're talking about, here's the behavior you need to do, which you still need to set the expectation for the behavior. I'm not saying don't do that. You've got to set that the expectation for the behavior. If as a leader, I want them to actually behave that way, I want to know what their perspective is. What's their current perspective and how do they shift their perspective so that the desired behavior happens?
Well, I think what I'm hearing you say, right, is that shifting from that like specific behavior on what is the outcome of that behavior and having them critically mm-hmm. think through what does that look like? How is it going to look different? Mm-hmm. Which then allows them to own whatever behavior mm-hmm. it is and whatever outcome it is. And whether we're talking about behavior change or a specific outcome with performance, then we can typically see that change occur faster having those coaching moments in the flow as opposed mm-hmm. to waiting until the behavior has produced this outcome that is not very good and have to go back and do corrective coaching. Yeah.
And you know, we look at, you know, performance improvement plans as this, it's a, you know, this very painful thing to do. And, you know, it's a bad situation. If you look at it from a different perspective, it doesn't really have to be. It's the setting of the expectations. You just happen to be setting it in writing. And where I think a lot of leaders get it, I don't want to say wrong, but it is wrong. It's purely a telling. Now, you do need to tell the expectations. Here's the behavior that is needed. But I think there's a co-creation that's missing, that where I think perspective is missing. So the leader needs to find out what's the perspective that the employee has, that that's why their behavior's gone to this, to where we've gotten to where we need to write a performance improvement plan. Or as a parent, where I need to give consequences or talk about consequences seriously. And we don't spend enough time, or leaders don't spend enough time finding out what's their perspective that had them behave that way. Because there's an example that I use, that you've got a 16-year-old kid standing around with their buddies, throws a rock through a window, and the buddies ragging them on. And it was a great idea at the time, until they hear the glass break. And then they realize, this isn't going to go well.
This is bad.
Yeah. This is bad. So as a parent, oftentimes parents will just, okay, here's the consequence. That was a bonehead idea. You're paying for this, or whatever reaction that, you know, the parent may have, rather than what was your thought process right before you threw the rock? What was your thinking that you putting the rock in your hand and throwing it was a good idea in that moment? Because it had to have been a good idea in the moment. And so you listen for what that was. And it may have been, well, they were egging me on. They said I couldn't do it, and I knew that I could. And so that gives you a place as a parent to start talking to them from. You can then talk about, it could, and any, there's a bunch of different aspects from it. So it could be some of the, did you feel like you were bullied to do it? Or did you feel like you needed to be the big person? Or did you just get excited from the adrenaline of people liking you? Whatever that was, you can talk about that as a parent and get the perspective to then talk about a different behavior. Now that you're here and we've had this conversation, what's the different way that that could have gone?
Well, and then you're training your 16-year-old to be more proactive with understanding their own thoughts, which mm-hmm. translates into an organization. And as a leader, and as you have employees, we dread having difficult conversations. Like, that is, I think, one of the most common terms that comes around of people can't have a difficult conversation. And if we use a coaching methodology in those micro moments, if we tap into helping individuals see their perception on the front end, then we ultimately will reduce the difficult conversations that we have to have, but then it will also make those difficult conversations slightly easier because there is that trust that's built, there is that connection that's built, and there's that level of understanding that, yes, in the 16-year-old example you gave, there's still going to be consequences. Even though you're coaching them through what they were thinking at the moment, there's still going to be consequences to those behaviors. And same thing in the world of work. There may still be consequences based on, you know, missed performance, whatever that may be, but having those conversations about where their perception was and helping them shift that perception can allow us as leaders to really guide and help individuals into a different place.
I think a key part of it is listening. As the leader, you've got to listen to what they have to say. So yes, you want to be curious about what their mindset is. Help them be curious about what that perspective was and truly listen and interact with it, because you've got a goal of where they need to perform, need to behave, and ultimately where you want them to be in life. So you have a goal for your 16-year-old to be able to make decisions on their own when they're 25, you know, be financially secure, whatever your goals are for your kids. And so you can shape that conversation. If you're only going in with the consequences, then they're going to measure their next decision of, is the consequence worth it or not? And if they're getting more of the things that they need emotionally from that group of friends that are egging them on, they're going to continue to behave that way. So same thing at work. So as a leader, you want to know what that perspective is. In particular, like with the 16-year-old, if they really liked me, they cheered me on, they're my buddies, then there may be some connection and affinity that they're missing somewhere else that you can then potentially build on. And so same thing at work. If you have those conversations, those corrective conversations, those difficult conversations, following a methodology or following a purpose and being curious about their perspectives, it makes the next one easier. That it doesn't feel as much like it's a corrective, because my leader's going to listen to me. And that, I think, is where you've arrived as a leader, when there's not the angst when you're talking about their performance. They actually join in that conversation. That, hey, I felt that too. So they're glad that you're there to help them talk through their perspective.
And as a leader, once they start recognizing that themselves, then it is a true joy of knowing that you have helped elevate this individual and level this individual up. So let's actually break down the core framework from the lens of it being a coaching methodology. So how is it going to work, and why is it going to work?
Definitely. Let's start by just introducing it. It's a framework, and we're going to spotlight it as this. It's a living iterative loop, and talked earlier about that the core idea of it is that growth happens when a leader learns to shift their own perspective. And when a leader learns to shift their own perspective and are helping another person shift their perspective, then that's where development is in the flow of work. And that's coaching. When you can bring development into the flow of work, and our core methodology helps you to do that. We've all heard that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. It's a great saying, right? But we really don't listen to ourselves when we're saying it, because we don't crack it. We get in this cycle and we're just trying different things. And really what I think is behind that saying is, if you're going into it with the same perspective, you're going to still get the same result. So really start looking at, what is your perspective? So we've tried, you know, we change our actions to produce something different. Let's just focus on our perspective. When our perspective shifts, then potentially there'll be a different outcome.
So thinking about the core, like curiosity, mm-hmm. openness, reflection, and embrace. So how do we do that from a curiosity perspective?
From a curiosity perspective, curiosity, you have to have a genuine interest in the other person, what they're faced with, what the challenge is, and what is possible. So as a leader, I have to start with that, as a genuine interest in that other person, in the thing. And to coach from this methodology, I have to help spark their interest in it as well.
That's powerful. How would you give an example of that? How do you spark someone else's interest?
In other episodes, we've talked about this as well too, asking, okay, what's your goal? What's your desired outcome? And so you really want to start there. Get curious in them. What do you see as the problem? What do you see is the challenge that you're facing? What do you see is possible here? Whatever your language is, but it's in the what do you see? And really just listen. Just stop and listen. Then it goes into the openness, right? So they share it, and then you just let go of any judgment you may have of what they say. And you're just listening. You're asking questions. And to help them be open to what could be possible or what could be another way. How do you create that space for openness with others when you're coaching?
Well, it's funny when you were talking and we're going through this from a leader's perspective of helping someone basically through, right, the core framework. In my mind, it's the leader has to also be going through the core framework in the moment as well for themselves. Because that was going to be my first comment about how to remain open when you are coaching someone or helping them be open is that you have to yourself be open. Because if you are even thinking about body language, if you're closed off, then you cannot help somebody be open to their own discoveries because it's going to come across as being not genuine. It's going to come across as you really don't care about them being curious. You don't have just that genuine interest in who they are and what they're saying. So being open as a leader who is coaching someone through this model, I think is key.
And the focus, I think, throughout the whole model, and it really is highlighted in the openness section, is how they see themselves, how they see themselves.
Well, you can't get a new perspective if you don't know where you're at.
No. And you may see where they are, but do they see where they are? And you can't be the one to tell them. It's got to be opening up the space so that they can see it and then they own it. That, and then you can begin to shift once they see that.
Yeah, I think this one is so important because we do, as a leader coaching someone through this, need to be open and recognizing when the other person is not truly opened. And I know, talk about my son all the time, who is really the foundation of this model, the thought process at least. And as a mom trying to coach him through different situations, recognizing he's not open to that curiosity. He's not open to, could be not even open to sharing. And as a leader who's coaching, as a parent who is coaching, I had to recognize that he's not open. So we weren't going to make any progress. And so being able to close the conversation and then come back to it when that openness is there is so important, because there is not going to be progression if that openness isn't fully lived out.
Well, I think, you know, talking about your son is a big one, because he's also very smart, like very like brilliant, right? So then
too smart for his own good.
Yes. Or too, or might I say too smart for mom to coach, or
exactly.
Because it makes it tough. Just like with high performers at work, it makes it hard because they really do already know a lot. They really are good at things.
They are. And they do see the, and they're like, well, I've tried this and I've done this and I've talked to this and I've done. And so every question you ask them, they have an answer to. And even though it appears from their perception, they're opened, in reality, they are so closed.
So it takes something, as you just said, it may take a couple of conversations to go back. And it's not a bad thing that they're closed off to it. They're just not open yet. They will be eventually. They're just not open right now. So as a leader, I need to be able to see it, like you said, you know, with your son, and then to go back to it when there is an opening, or is there potentially an opening with that?
Well, and I think the reflection piece comes in, because even if somebody is closed off, that there is some reflection that can occur. There is a seed that can be planted that allows them in their closed nature to reflect upon why is it that they are not, right? What about the situation has allowed them not to be open? So that reflection piece, helping them gain insights and patterns, whether the conversation's going well or not.
And it's, this one's a tough one, because they need, the insights are theirs. You can't give them their insights. And I know as a mom, as a leader, I do want to just, you know, here's the insight you need to have right now.
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying, and you should see it too.
Yeah, and I am certain I have given them. I'm certain I'm not going to let myself off the hook at all because I am human. It is important that they come up with their own insights. And do you have any methods, or what methods do you have when you're in that situation where there are some insights that are just, there's some things that are just really glaring that they don't see yet? How do you help them see different perspectives to get different insights?
Well, the first strategy that I usually attempt is have them remove themselves from the situation and be an outsider looking in, right? Of, okay, we're going to pretend we are X and you have been asked to come in and help with this situation. And here are the facts of the situation that you have. What are some questions that you would ask? Right. Help them kind of go through curiosity and openness from an outsider looking in, and then helping them reflect upon, okay, what insights did you just gain that are different than the insights that you just shared?
It's powerful. Just having them pull out and look at it as a spectator.
And some people can naturally do that. Some people have a little bit more of a challenge. And so it may be helping them. And so it may be thinking about different personas or maybe even different individuals, having them come up with somebody else that they know that they can, or that they turn to, and you know, what insights would X person give you if they were talking to you about the situation?
Yeah. One thing I do is share patterns that I see and ask if they've seen, if they see those patterns as well, or if they've seen that show up that might be similar elsewhere.
I love that, because I think it's a softer way of saying, this is what I'm seeing, but you're not telling them what you're seeing.
And I'll even say, I see a pattern. Do you mind if I share a couple of examples that show that pattern? And then a couple of things happen. One, they'll see it, and then they'll actually add to it. Oh, I also did it in this. I did it in this other thing. Or they'll just say, I need to think on it. And some may say, no, I don't see it. So whatever space it works, right? And then in a later conversation, oftentimes they'll then see the pattern because something else has happened that fits that pattern. Like, yeah, someone said these things and this is similar to that. I can see that now. And then they'll see it again. So then that pattern is in their view that can shape what their perspective is.
Well, I want to talk about the embrace, because I know it's a little bit different when we are coaching someone, right? Because we can't embrace it for them. So how do you help provide that support for them to embrace those insights?
It's grounded back in their values or what they say they want. Similar to our last episode of listening to people big, here's their goals, here's who they say they want to be. And also in coaching, helping them take the insights that they had and pair that with, get them regrounded in their values to say, okay, what do you see as the next step? Because it's got to be their choice. So you've had this insight, you've seen this pattern, you have this insight, here's who you say you are or what you want. What do you see as the next step to take? What do you see as the next three steps to take? Whatever it may be. And they then begin to get excited about, here's what I can do. And then you can shift through, okay, how will you know you were successful at that? How you know you'll get it done? And so for some, it'd be putting in a schedule, putting a reminder, what have you, but it's shifting the conversation to, what do you see that there is to do next? If you miss that step, if you're not asking them what they will do next, what they see as the next step, then, and if you're just giving it to them, then the true learning's not going to happen. Then the coaching really breaks apart there. It really has to come from them.
Well, and I think that we've dropped hints of what some of those questions, coaching questions would be through the flow of work inside that core framework. So I think what we'll do is we'll post out there on social media some of those pocket questions that you can keep in the back of your mind so that you can go through that core framework in the flow of work coaching individuals.
And if we're able to figure the technology out, we'll put a PDF attached to this podcast. So if you're good at finding your PDFs attached to podcasts, go look for it right now. If it's there, we were successful. If not, then go look on social media, please.
If not, then send us a message on how to do it so that we can be successful and learn how to do it correctly.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be fabulous. I follow instructions really well. If you can, you know, just type it out, I'd love it.
Yeah.
Following the core methodology and the questions can really have a high impact on the connection you have with your employee. It can have a high impact on the results you're producing as a team. And let's get regrounded in what is a leader's responsibility. Number one, deliver the expectations of your role. So the KPIs, the numbers, the stats, whatever. The second is to grow your people. So when we were talking about all the conditions and what leaders are faced with and the economic pressures and adding coaching, this is not an adder. It's an avenue to actually get your stuff done and to develop your people. So this is not just to add on more work. You can really integrate this into your day-to-day work.
Yeah, it's not just one more thing. And coaching in the flow of the quest isn't about fixing other people. It's about being that mirror that we talked about in other episodes. It's about being their map on their quest to the core and really being a guidepost for them during this journey. Because leaders make those tiny shifts in the flow of work that don't just develop skills, it truly does develop people. And that's where the real quest begins.
So that leads us to our reflection prompt for this week. Consider this. How will you use the core framework as a coaching methodology for yourself this week? Also, who would benefit from you using the core framework as a coaching methodology to see results and progress?
In our next episode, we are going to have a conversation about an abstract concept, a term that is thrown out there quite a bit. But when you think about leading others, it really is about how to create empowerment for them. So leaders that foster empowerment, build trust, have clear expectations, encourage decision-making, all of those things. So we are going to have a wonderful conversation on what empowerment means to us and how we can apply that as a leader. As always, don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com with the number 2. And you can find our discussion guides that you can use with your group or team or individually and reflect upon the content from our episodes.
And a very special thanks to our Grammy recognized hit song writer, Cliff Goldmacher, for our theme song. You can reference his information on our website as well.
And until next time, remember, elevating others isn't extra. It is the heart of leadership.